Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting ready for some Festivus around here. But before I get to that, I am wearing I'm a Blunt Person shirt. This is my Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I must say, they are sponsoring our 25th anniversary of WNST. And when Wendy Bronfine, she comes on, we educate folks about cannabis and medicines and all the different things we do. But she said, what is the 25th anniversary going to be? I said, it's going to be a celebration of all these people that we've met along 25 years and pictures and cool things we've done. So we're doing the countdown right now. And when they count down, it's things in and around Super Bowl related activities and walkouts on creepy baseball owners that lead our list. So when you get on this sort of a run and you looking for a Super, you make memories and you meet people. This is a young lady I've met along life's journey. Super Bowls have happened in Houston in the past. I have been there and witnessed such things, and I collect people. Steph Stradley does all things Texans and law and legalese and different things down in deep in the heart of Texas in Houston. And I was going to wear my Dan Pastorini Oilers jersey here, but the Oiler thing in Texas, like if I wore that, it could be taken as disrespectful, even though, you know, I'm a Love You Blue, Bum Phillips guy, Earl Campbell guy, like all of that stuff. McLean and I know all of that, but like, there's a lot of hardship there. And when I think about these losers in Cleveland and these poor people in Detroit that we pray for, that they win, you folks down in Houston are also long-suffering, shall we say, Steph. And you're probably the first one to point that out, that they took a Mayflower and took your team away and then rubbed your nose in it with these beautiful jerseys and derricks that folks like you and I that respected Love You Blue and knocking on the door and kicking it in. I was offended, and I'm not even from Houston, Steph. You know
yes.
What I mean?
Yes. I mean, everybody has their own relationships with the Houston or their legacy. But yeah, the Tennessee Titans wearing Oilers jerseys that said Love You Blue in the back, which Love You Blue is an era of deep love and respect between those teams in 1979 and the city of Houston. So that has a specific meaning, and having that engraved in the back of the jerseys, like, I know that they wanted to honor those players, but there's lots of respectful ways of doing it. But a lot of things are contextual. Like, if I talk about the Oilers, it's real. If some other people who don't have that relationship, it's different. But I have something special for you that I brought for this meeting.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad everybody's out on the webcam here. I hope they're streaming us beginning February 5th when we go live doing this big charity thing we're doing.
This is the hat that you insisted
I
get.
I want that hat. Can I borrow that hat? I just want a picture of me in
come
that
to
hat.
Town.
Look at how badass you look. You look badass. I mean, that's the thing. Listen, I want to get to the Texans and CJ. We'll get to all of that.
But this is the past.
God, this
is
beautiful.
Let's talk about, Houston Oilers. There is no oil in Tennessee of any measurable.
Look out, football. Here we come. Houston Oilers, number one. Yeah.
And now we have something new going on, which is beyond that legacy, beyond anything that I have ever seen. Like, I've been trying to make analogies to what this Houston Texans team is, and I can't think of a sports analogy to it at all. Like, what we're seeing with this Houston Texans team is amazing. And part of it is a legacy thing. D'Amico Ryans is the head coach. He came to the Texans in 2006, which was my first year writing for the Cron with like a very old blog that I had. And it was immediate that he was a special person, that he could get people to follow him. Not because it's him, but because of just this Kubiak era kind of idea, which is people need to know that you care about them before they care about what you know. That's just kind of a basic Kubiak kind of point of view. And that D'Amico Ryans exemplifies that. And the staff he's put together, this team he's put together, it is special. They are doing things that have never been done in NFL history. Like, like this whole season has pretty much blown my mind, and it's been an enjoyable run this whole time.
You know, I always try to educate our audience because we have all different people in different ways. They have no idea how big Houston is, right? Like, I was in New York last week. I took a bus up for Billy Joel. Yeah. Billy Joel plays here every month, and at least as long as he's playing, I'm going to try to go.
Yes. But,
so, you know, you go to New York, you're like, big place. L.A., big place. Chicago, big place. Houston's like the next level in our country. I mean, you go to Buenos Aires or, you know, places where Beijing, where there's 50 million people. It's crazy. Tokyo. But you're a really big place, Houston, and
large, like spacious. We don't have any mountains that kind of.
And complicated in so many ways with being on the Mexican border, oil money, politics, Dallas being up the road.
This is all you need to know. Houston is a place that you don't need to be from to succeed here. We just collect all the badasses. Like, if you're a badass, we want you to stay here. Now, we do export our badasses too, because we can't all live here all at once. But yeah, we're the fourth largest city in the country. Some arguably say it's the third largest. And, you know, if there's something that you are into, we have it in Houston, or we have two airports that will get you there, because, like, we don't have mountains.
Well, but yeah, I mean, I love Houston,
we have
right?
Everything.
I mean, all these years are coming in, and I never, I can honestly say I was an Oiler fan who pined away. I went to the Astrodome one time in my life, the night that Jeff Fisher got the job, and they were 2-11 playing a Monday night football game against the god-awful Giants team. I sat with Ernie Accorsi, it was a Monday night football game. Dan Dierdorf did my show from the press box at the Astrodome, and I felt like I had gone to the seventh wonder of the world. And, you know, I was watching the game on Saturday, and Ken, one of our listeners, came up to Hollywood Casino. I was giving away lottery tickets. People are out giving away copies of the book, watching Joe Flacco try to get the job done, right? And they did an aerial shot of the new stadium and the Astrodome. And the guy said to me, and he'd never been to Houston, he's like, is that the Astrodome? And I'm like, yeah. I said, you would not believe how it looks like a Tonka toy next to Reliant Energy, whatever the hell they're calling it this week, you know, and like that complex. And I think when I fly in, I usually fly in a hobby. I've flown in a bush a couple times, but like it's a sprawling, huge place. And I think to myself, no hockey team here. All right. Well, college football matters a whole lot in a lot of places. Cougars fine, but the basketball legacy of the Rockets and the Summit and like all of that. And I think about the disappointments of the Astros for all of those years, the disappointment of the Oilers that led to sort of their creepy owner. Now his daughter doing what she's doing to Houston, which I find to be offensive. And we'll continue to talk about that for as long as I have you on with that hat and everything else, all my closet full of stuff on how I feel about it today, strangely. But I would just say, for you had your own Mayflowers, you had your team taken away. This team has come back, and this team has had sort of three different identities. It's, hey, we got a new team back. Isn't our logo cool? And we tailgate. And I've been a part of that. My brother lived there at the time. I went down first year, second year. You weren't very good at football, but you were trying. Then there was the Matt Schaub Red era, where y'all came in here and took over City Hall and acted like fools and had a good time. And we won.
I was there. I had a tremendous time.
Well, Baltimore's a great place, I can tell you that firsthand. So
one of my favorite moments ever was being at Mother's before the game.
All right, Purple Patio.
Dave and somebody paid the DJ $100 to play a bunch of Texan songs. And then there's a video out there, I won't say exactly where it is, where people are dancing around like fools, and it was big fun time.
Well, it was all red. I mean, it was very obvious, like, at that time. And you sort of established that's not blue. It's not Oilers.
It's battle red. Battle red. And actually, let me tell you about that particular, like, the first game in Baltimore in the playoffs was T.J. Yates, the third string quarterback, leading that team. And Arian Foster carried that team on his back. Like, that Andre Johnson had been injured that season, and they kind of fought their way to get to the playoffs that year. And it was the first time the Texans had been to the playoffs. So there was a lot of enthusiasm for people traveling, because they were just so wanting to support that team, because, you know, there was just a lot of really easy people to root for.
Steph, anybody my age in Baltimore knows exactly what that's like in 2000 with that, you know, the team they make movies about now and the greatest defense, the late great Goose and all that. Like, that feeling is something of civic pride, that that blue hat that you put on means something to you in the way that my Baltimore Colts belt buckle means something to me. You know what I mean?
And the thing that was special about that was there had been people traveling with the team for years, like a lot of really hard teams to travel with, because that's a lot of losses. And so what happened is so many people wanted to go to Baltimore for that game, but had never traveled before and didn't know how to do it. And so the people that had traveled a lot met with these people, and we kind of got together and said, hey, we're just happy to be together. And we created the Traveling Texans all together. There's like, it just happened kind of spontaneously. And we had meetups, and then it grew and grew and grew. And the reason why they wear red is that the Texans are not a legacy team. We're not, you know, the Steelers traveling places. We wanted to show, even if it was few of us, that we were there in support, and we wear red to show the team that we're there for them. And so the Traveling Texans kind of developed this thing that unless the other team has red as a primary color, battle red is our color, because we have three primary colors: battle red, deep steel blue, and Liberty white. Like there's red, white, and blue in the Texas flag, and those all mean different things also. So that's kind of
I thought your logo was badass when it came out. I mean, you had two of the best logos. So have we. I mean, the Colts logo is just great, right? That's stolen, and I know how we feel about that. They wore 56 throwbacks this year. If you want to throw back to the 56 Baltimore Colts, play the game in Baltimore. And if you want to put a Derek on the middle of your field, play the game in Houston. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's how I felt about it. And before I even get to this team and these errors we've talked about, Steph Stradley is here. She's at Cron.com, Houston Chronicle. She's an attorney, fan, a lover of sport, and a good talking companion for me on the program for many, many, many years. And I'll get to the Deshaun Watson thing and where we are right now, but I'll just say this.
There's certain things we don't discuss anymore. We just don't talk about it.
Well, I had to talk about it last week because the Browns,
it's like the Men in Black thing. It's like the Men in Black thing. Like, we're not going to talk about it. I'm done with it.
See, we didn't talk about Ray Rice here, and then they honored him on the field 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't know. John McClain has told me they will never honor Deshaun Watson on the field, but he didn't win a championship there either. But either way,
it's just a very, like, I don't want to talk about it other than just saying it's a very difficult topic to talk about respectfully, and just don't want to talk about it because the vibes are immaculate right now.
Well, that's the issue. Is you can go from that to this quickly when
you can't get rid of Bill
O'Brien's and you get rid of people.
It wasn't quick. The last couple of years have been very difficult for a lot of different reasons that aren't worth kind of relitigating, because there's a lot of different points of view of it. But the last couple of years hurt some people. It just did.
And then people get chased away. Mike, and in our fan base, Ray Rice, look, listen, Ray Lewis was in an orange jumpsuit. Jamal Lewis did time for weed and he wasn't even involved, but he went to jail, right? He did time. So like fans get disenfranchised when their running back punches his wife in a glass elevator, denies it.
And
it's hard to come back and be a fan.
As
right?
a lawyer, you know, who both respects the rule of law and letting things work out delicately and not wanting to kind of put people's business out there, I really have a hard time really even talking about these things in the sports context, because there's just so much hurt involved. I am such a delicate flower about these things for somebody who's a lawyer. I just know all the pain that if things get to the criminal justice system, there's a lot of pain involved. And I've written a lot of things on these topics, and it hurts every time because I know that the legal process is really painful for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, including the people who suffered in an elevator, perhaps, but has come out the other side with her own points of view on things. Everything is very specific.
I'm talking about fans that travel and fans that get back on and fans that buy in again. There were a lot of people here when the Mayflower vans came, never watched football again because they were just like, I'm done with it. And there was a thing with what happened with your franchise, people will say, I'm done with it. There are people here that are done because of the Wembley knee.
There are entry and exit points for every fan base. And yeah, there are a lot of people in Houston that don't mess with the NFL anymore because of how that went down. There are people that have exited the franchise or entered the franchise for any number of positive reasons.
That's interesting you'd say that. Exit the franchise. As a guy who was thrown out as a 40-year media member, you say exit the franchise. That's not something fans ever think about. I'm not going to be a fan of Team X if they do Y, right? Or whatever. But if they leave your city, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know where that becomes a whole different thing. That, to your point, three decades later, they wear your colors and they.
Well, and even beyond that, and without going into the details, the Texans, for a time, had a former chaplain as their GM. A former team chaplain was the Texans' GM in 2020. That was a difficult time. But we're going to use the men in black, you know, forget about it, because those things are gone. Like, once D'Amico Ryans was hired, it changed everyone and everything, because he was somebody that you could believe would make it not just good for him, but would make it good for the fans, make it good for the players, make it good for Houston, because he's one of us. Like, I was inspired to make my own t-shirt. Look, this is my DMC D'Amico shirt. Back to the Future. It's the DeLorean font. DeLorean is based in Houston, Texas. And we have gone back to the future because D'Amico Ryans has brought things to the Texans that he's learned in different spots and learned here, because he was here for a long time. He knows where the light switches are in the building. He knows the things that he wanted as a coach or as a player. And I mean, shoot, if you look at him today, I mean, he still looks like a player because he's so jacked up. But like, the way he has gone forward from his first press conference changed everything, because he made it about us.
Well, it was a franchise that needed change, right? Like, literally, it was screaming out for change. Every time you and I talked, every time I'd see McClain, we play you guys every year or two, and I sort of dip my toe in the water and see what's going on. I mean, it got bad very, very quick, because the former quarterback there, who you don't want me to mention, was a good player, and the team was trending.
It was beyond that. There had been some issues, like, without going into it, there had been some issues for a while where, for example, Bill O'Brien had good elements to what he was doing, but his staff was filled with, you know, this guy was a grad student at places that he was at before. It wasn't a very well put together staff. The thing that like opened my heart from the first press conference that D'Amico Ryans gave is he said his first priority was putting together his staff, and his staff would be diverse in age, diverse in experience. But the key thing was going to be all of these guys were going to be teachers. So what did he do? The first thing that happened is all the coaches that were really good coaches from previous staffs were kept. Like if I was to go through the staff and go, yeah, I'd like to keep that guy, those guys were kept. And then he brought in some amazing position coaches. The coordinators are great. And even more importantly, they have schemes on both sides of the ball that make sense, that have been proven successful things in the NFL. Bobby Slowick came from the 49ers. He was one of the people behind, you know, Brock Purdy having to go to a playoff game and be pushed out there at the last second. And everybody sings his praises of what he's been able to do with the kinds of injuries that the Texans have suffered over the course of the season while having an entirely new staff and entirely new schemes.
And a rookie quarterback.
Yes, and a new quarterback. And on the defensive side of the ball, it is D'Amico Ryan's defense, and he was able to put some defenses together for the 49ers without having all top round picks. But the Texans, like everything that they have done this year, some people have questioned it, but if you looked at the whole context of it, it made so much sense. Like, for example, they didn't say, oh, we're rebuilding, next year maybe we'll be good. D'Amico Ryans understands urgency. He played for a lot of teams where he was the best player on the defense, but they were losing, and he doesn't want that for himself. Like, he hasn't said it explicitly, but you can see it in his choices. And he's really great at not having too much ego with things, like where he's able to change his minds. If he has one plan and it's not working, he's good at, okay, we just need to go on and move on. And it has been remarkable to see. Like, if you go onto my Twitter, at Steph Stradley, my pinned tweet is something that I wrote in July that was everything that I had seen in OTAs and was the blueprint for what this season was going to look like. And I literally said, I'm standing on the table for this team because I have already seen in just OTAs things that you want in modern football. You have an owner that's giving the resources to the football people and the ability to make moves that might make some owners a little scared or cautious or it. You've got D'Amico Ryans as your head coach. You have Nick Caserio as your GM, and he is somebody who, you know, he's gotten a lot of blowback, but part of the blowback might not completely be his fault. But this year, he's able to work with D'Amico Ryans as a peer to get him the groceries that he needs. And what did he do as his first big move? In the draft, they got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. And a lot of people go, you use so much draft ammunition. Well, you know, they had a lot of ammo. And at some point, you need to start the clock now to develop the new players. And so let's say you thought that there were like six players in the last year's draft that were projected to be elite players. Well, the Texans got two of them, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and they started developing them this year. And you can see the development. I mean, it's
well, getting the quarterback rights, everything, Steph, you know, like if you know, that's really where it's at for whether Indianapolis got the right quarterback, whether Carolina got the right quarterback or not. Certainly for the Ravens this time last year, Lamar's out there as a one-time MVP winner. Nobody wanted him. Right. And yeah. Your former quarterback, there was a line waving $200 million at him.
Yeah.
And there are other quarterbacks out there that can play. And I guess getting C.J. Stroud right will be. That's the lead story. Well, and certainly the chances that your season is going to end abruptly. And I must say this, Steph Stradley in Houston, everybody I talk to thinks nice season for the Texans, but they're going to get their feelings hurt Saturday night in Baltimore.
Maybe.
I know what it's like to be on the other end of that. I don't know what it's like to be on this end. I don't know what it's like. We have never played an AFC championship game at home. If the Ravens beat your Texans and they're 9-point favorites and trending toward 10.
Sure. Make them 20-point favorites. Like, really? I am not going to predict this game because I have already seen miracles that are not supposed
to
happen.
We had a mile-high miracle here. We were going to lose in Denver. We won the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago. So, listen, you guys were on the fringe of elimination 2 weeks ago. Now you're on the fringe of C.J. Stroud might be a top five player in the league.
The number one rule of the NFL in single elimination is you get to the dance, anything can happen. And the Texans at this point, like, they have dealt with some massive injuries. Like, I don't know, like, I've lost track of how many centers they went through this season. Like, the things that they've been able to do with young players mixed with their experienced players are astounding. And they went to Cleveland against the number one defense in the league, and they ended up getting the over just on their own points. On their own points. Oh, wait, that game was in Houston, but still, larger point, well taken.
Well, it's in Houston because they won the division. They played well enough to play the game at home. Yes. So, yeah.
I mean, no, because the Jags wet the bed.
Yeah, they kind of get out of the way. There's no doubt about it. Steph Stradley's here. Tell everybody how to find your work. And I should let – and I'm not being flippant here because I worry about these Dolphin fans coming out of Florida and freezing in Kansas City. And I, you know, I saw Andy Reid's face the other night. I know what 18 degrees is. It was 9 degrees here this morning in Baltimore, Steph. It's really cold here this week. Yeah, your fans come up. They got red parkas. What do they got going on?
I don't know. This is my Sega Palms I'm trying to save because we had a freeze here and the team has actually been practicing in the cold all week. No, I think Houstonians will be fine going there. I have to say, I want to thank the Ravens fans that told me last time how to deal with the cold when I was there for the first playoff game. And what they told me was dress warm, but have extra layers. And in the fourth quarter, put your extra layers on. And that worked pretty well for me. That particular game was close enough that I talked to the Ravens fan behind me and I'm like, hey, we walked here from our hotel. You guys are going to win this game. But if we don't win this game, could you walk us back to our hotel?
Well, it is Baltimore. We have a reputation around here. You know, I mean, they did film The Wire and all that stuff. Steph Stradley is out of Steph Stradley on Twitter. She is of legal ease and of all things Houstonian and her Allers hat and all that. I must say to you that, you know, I'm a stalker of a few things on the internet. I have Pacifica belt buckles, rock and roll belt buckles. Everybody sort of I feature those. But I'm always looking at various things regarding Louis Aparicio's old off, not Topps cards, but weird bazooka things and weird Jell-O and Kellogg's cards. But the other thing I always look for is Houston Oilers paraphernalia memorabilia. And I love that hat that you have on right now. But I'll say this. There was something really – and we talked about this with your quarterback and Mayflower Vans and terrible things that happened. As a fan watching that the Texans Oiler Titan game a couple of weeks ago, and I put it on, I was watching Red Zone as I've been wont to do, and I saw the Derek and I saw the Oiler markings. It bothered me, but what bothered me even more, and this is something that's going to, and Dan Pastorini's not going to like this, but like all this Oilers stuff I have in the closet now, I'm not looking to acquire anymore because it's sort of cheapened to me. Every time I see the Titans play now in Nashville, I look in the stands. Half the people in the stands are wearing a Derrick Henry or a Ryan Tannehill. And by the way, I thought Vrabel wearing the Bum Phillips hat was really, really fired. Tacky, Steph, you know?
Fired
head coach Mike Vrabel. Thank you very much.
That was a curse. That franchise is cursed. I cursed him. Lots of people have cursed him. That franchise is not going to do anything. And I mean, that was...
I said that about the Colts until Peyton Manning showed up.
And well, then, no. This is super deep because not only did they steal the team, but they hurt a lot of people. They hurt a lot of people by just eliminating this because it doesn't make sense for Tennessee. And, you know, it's hurtful for the fans in Tennessee too, because they have their own team and some of them really don't like the cosplay that happened. And it's not good for, you know, people like, that were the players of that era.
You called it cosplay. You're such a lawyer. I got to put that. Listen, this is my original Baltimore Colt belt buckle. There's a Houston Oiler one just like it. You can buy beaten up for about $6 right now. And I haven't bought it yet because I want to get a nicer one. I'm going to get a Houston Oiler one of this era. When I find it for 20, 30, 40, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to buy it. The thing that I'm going to buy next, and I know you will appreciate this because you've referenced it a few times and I see your hat. I always had a crush on the Derek Dolls. I always thought that Mary won.
One of my friends was one.
Okay. So the Derek Dolls wore these outfits and they had belt buckles. And the belt buckles are these silver Love Ya Blue. And they're available. Get it for $25, $30. I think that's going to be the final piece, although that hat's pretty damn good. And I saw it for about $100 a month ago. I saw another one just like it. I'm not disenfranchised. I'm in Baltimore. The Ravens are my team, even though they've thrown me out and treated me like trash. And that's for another day. To your point, I have emotions too. I'm watching the games on TV.
You know, but when you love something, you want to be loved back. And I hope just generally and specifically to you that the true lesson of the death of the Houston Oilers was really about people getting sideways with each other in ways that it didn't need to happen, and that you wish that you had a rewind button, but you don't. And I really hope
you love the new thing, right? I mean, it's the same way with the Ravens, right?
But part of the thing is the lesson learned from that is, you know, it's really easy to look at the past and go, hey, those people didn't have it right, and we have it great now. But the real lesson is just don't get sideways with people and try to have positive relationships. And sometimes it's hard because things get feeling very personal. Like, it's hard to do analysis without analysis feeling pretty personal to friends. And, you know, the worst trouble that human beings get into is in defense. And then the best, for that matter, is in defense of their friends.
Well, I tell you what, I'll defend you in that hat any day of the week. You have two good logos down there. You got a pretty good quarterback. Might be yes. good enough to come up here and steal the Thunder. I will just say this, Steph. This is what you're coming into. 15, 18 degrees, right?
No, I know.
You're coming into a team that rust versus rest is a real thing. Lamar has not proven himself in January. I'll tell you a little secret. You can tell everybody in your little red, what's it, Battle Red. You can tell everybody in Battle Red down in Houston this. Lamar doesn't like the cold any more than you do. And, this is a game that's a 10-point game that the great equalizer is you're the hot team, you're the underdog, nobody expects you to win, it's rookie this, rookie that, all that stuff. That's how we've won Super Bowls here, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't think this is a done deal that the Ravens are just willed to Las Vegas, but the mood here, it's going to be unbelievably devastating if the Ravens were to lose this football game Saturday night, you know what I mean?
We are owed.
I hear you. Karma. You got Bomb Phillips karma going in. You're going to knock on the door, and we're going to kick it in. All right. Steph Stradley's here. I love the hat. That's a great hat. You make me just want to go get all of my crap out, my starter jacket, all that.
Well, yeah.
I have Christmas ornaments. You have no idea how much Oiler stuff I have.
NFL owes us. Now, of course, we have to earn it, but we are owed.
Listen, you'll have people up here now saying I'm becoming a Texans fan because I have a Houston affinity, or I'm a Titans fan because I have an Oiler affinity. I'm a non-denominational journalist here just reporting truth at this point. The shirt says it all, Steph. I'm just a blunt person. So take care of yourself down there. I would say good luck, but that would come at our expense. But
no, good game, no injuries. Good game. No injuries.
Like,
let's have
think,
a good time. We don't have any problems with Ravens fans. We have our own history with the Steelers.
I brought up Mike Renfro earlier. Oh, my God. I don't bring that up with Pastorini. Steph Stradley's here. She's at cron.com, used to Chronicle, and writes about the Texans and Texans lore and Texans history and Oilers history as well. Next time I have you on, I will have the Love You Blue, not the Oiler one, but at least the Love You Blue, the Derek Dahl belt buckle. Also available, 1983 cheerleaders calendar is available out on the internet as well. You make me want to sing the Oilers fight song. I can't really do that in a week when Houston's in the way. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive, little Festivus and Luke out in Owings Mills. Stay with us.